That was nice. And I mean that in a sense, like that was good stuff. Especially when I had dealt with somebody today. Somebody today. That was happy to say no weapon formed against me will prosper. Somebody today to say that God knows the plans that he have for us about an expected end. Somebody today that in that same post said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. They didn't go on and say, for whom he did foreknow and did predestinate that they would be conformed to the image of his dear son, who was beaten, who was bruised for our transgression. All they just said is all things work together for good. And I said it was scary, those three scriptures. And it was as if, well, it's not scary for me. Well, if the life of walking with Christ had nothing to do with scariness, why would he tell them to fear not man that can kill the body? Why? Why would Paul tell us that we don't look at the things that are seen, because the things that we see are temporal? But then again, in the words of Andrina Dion, they say God's children are stupid. I said, and then I said that they say, I said, I thought it say sottish, same word. Because it's like I'm trying to figure out where did she find that scripture and say God, people say they stupid. And the thing is that we continually roll in mediocrity of the formality of church. Let me say it again. The mediocrity of the formality of church. And so we end up still being babies in understanding when the time comes that we should be men. And it's a very scary thing. And to look at this passage and see all of the things that they've done. Jumping over the daggum threshold as for another guy. Jumping. You know, a lot of times grown men don't do a lot of jumping unless they're scared of playing sports. I mean, you deep in this religious game. Jumping. You're walking around like with people that say that there is no God. I've heard a man named Dwight Pryor say that the scripture should say, the fool is in his heart, no God. Well, the there is definitely in italics, but there's also more to it than just it's not being there. There are things that allow you to understand what the person is saying, and context matter. And when he starts reading and he starts talking about it, these people act as if God's not going to judge. They act as if God's not going to do his thing. And it's the scary part about it is that the more you teach, and the more you go into God's word, the more your words will become like that fire that can consume, that can burn. And every time you turn around, your culture, your very own family, your job, and even your own heart will try to douse it out. It'll try to smother it. It'll try to choke it. It'll try to drown it. So much so to where, as an individual, it'll be like you don't have no more of God left in you anywhere. And your words will start coming out like cotton candy. And your words will have no effect. And this is what happens when a people or a man allows himself to be neutralized. In this passage you talked about tonight, this nation has become neutralized because they wouldn't listen, because they played the fool with full. If, you know, there's a thing called full throttle. When you drive, you can mash the gas all the way down. And that's called full throttle. Sometimes as people, we just go full throttle, just stupid. Especially that part when you start changing, and then everybody, and after that, somebody else's wife. Dang, how you just? I mean, they're pretty messed up, y'all. What y'all doing, swapping? What y'all doing, swapping? And then you're backsliding. People say backsliding don't matter. It did in this passage. We ain't never going to get to the place that we can lead living like this. We can't. Why? I'll give you one thing. One thing. It coincides with something Ann and I was talking about today in Deuteronomy 29:4. Hear now this, you God damnable foolish people, a people without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Often people that have eyes don't want you either. They put something in front of them that they can see. They don't want to hear what God has to say. It's bad. It's bad. And so as long as you're going to keep preaching the word of God, and you put that word out there like that, it's going to leave people without excuse. And that's what you got to do. It's very, very, very pathetic what we have allowed ourselves to become in this country. What we've allowed ourselves to become, to call ourselves love God. Such a joke. Such a discouragement. I'm just going to stop right there. It's very, very disheartening to see how bad we've allowed ourselves to become while we think we're doing good. So I'm going to stop right there and say this. That's a good message. It's a weighty message. I had good for you, but you determined you wasn't going to let me do it my way. That's all I'm going to say. You didn't raise your voice too hard. I ain't going to raise mine too hard. Now, I can't stop Andrina from raising her voice. She's wrong.
Does our court have anything to add this evening? It's going to be good.
I would just like to say hello.
Hey. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
You sound like you're breathing real strong.
You know, I'm really doing well, considering. Okay. Mm-hmm. And thank you for calling. I'll talk to people when I have information to give. So now that everything is settled, my mother, she requested to have a cremation. And so we're having a small service at the funeral home, Willie Watkins Funeral Home in Atlanta. On Abernathy, I think it's still called Abernathy. And it's at 1 o'clock on Thursday. And I'm not expecting people to really come. I just wanted to let you all know.
Okay.
And, you know, because it is, to me, it's short notice because we kind of had to collaborate to pull it together. Mm-hmm. And so other than that, that's about it.
Okay. Well, we have been praying for you, definitely. And if she knows we contacted, and she's able or desires to speak, she goes, let us know. So I'm like, we not gonna try to push. Ah, cool. So, but yeah, we've been praying. for you. So
I probably had to call, tell them stuff, and you know, cause you know, Mama, she's so young. Young people ask questions like that, and so mm-hmm. it's gonna be so and so, and it's like I can't tell her too much because she'll be trying to seek some food, and I don't need her to.
You
do
know,
that.
You know, because she's been asking. She has yeah. been asking. I think she's probably asked me 3 or 4 times.
So I said, you know, I'm a hold out from her as long as.
Oh, yeah. Was that Mama?
Ma'am. Oh my goodness, ma'am.
What did you say, Mama?
And I meant it.
What did you say? I didn't hear you. What did you say? You gonna spank me, whip me?
Just glad to hear the lovely sound in your voice and know that God is hearing our prayers.
Thank you so much. It's going well so far, and we've been able to come together, I guess, because, you know, we've kind of been expecting and looking for it. And so, you know, everything is working out pretty well, you know, with the sister. So that's good. And with other relatives coming, we have relatives coming in from out of town. So some of them already start coming in. So we just set everything up to, you know, have them ready. I ordered out all the food, so I didn't need nobody needed to cook. I can't, you know, for everything. So that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I saw her, what was it, 2 days before she passed him? Was it a day or 2 days? He's probably busy. But I saw her.
No, I said two. I didn't know my phone was muted. Cause we went yeah. one day and we were gonna go the next. She said we didn't have to go. And we were gonna go that night and she died.
Yeah, I can tell you all about that later, but I mean she I could tell she recognized us. I could tell she couldn't talk. I think they had her sedated. You know how they when you take them to hospice, they say, well, we'll medicate them to make sure, you know, that they're not in any pain and let them be comfortable. And so she really couldn't talk because she was going in and out of being asleep. But I seen her look worse than what she looked. And she recovered, but I just didn't see that she was afraid in her eyes. I didn't see. She just looked pretty calm. She looked like she was happy to see me, you know. So I said, okay.
You needed and that. So, did you understand?
Ma'am,
I said, you need that memory.
Yes, I needed it. So she looked and Tim said, I'm going to kiss you. And she said, I'm going to give you some sugar. And she flinched like, wait a minute. But she looked okay. She fell asleep while we were there, and so we sat around a little longer, and then we ended up leaving. But I think she was okay, you know. So, I mean, the thing I know is this: that I talk to her about God a lot,
mm-hmm.
and about her life with just her life period and her life with her children. And it wasn't just about, okay, you did this, this, and this. It was about this is how you get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw her humble. I saw the Lord humble her.
Lord.
I saw it. And so that's my joy. I saw her be humbled. I saw her at least attempt to be thankful. And, you know, to say, I'm going to trust Jesus. So that's what I have to go on. I have to know that I was faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't so, you glad to know the Lord?
Yes.
That's where
yes.
I'm from.
going on.
Ran for you. I didn't
thank you.
I didn't, you know, didn't figure we get there. And since I still don't have a car, you know, but hopefully
yes, ma'am.
Come to an end in a couple of weeks if it's that long.
You don't want to be driving down in Atlanta if you hadn't driven in a long time anyway.
Thank you, Tim.
I don't like driving down here.
I know Atlanta is.
Mama, I've been here six times, Mama. Okay.
Okay.
Six.
We
six.
Right.
No, I bought a box truck. Okay.
Okay. Oh man. But I'm looking forward to seeing you all whenever you know you get.
I plan to be there Saturday.
Oh, well, what?
Yeah.
I love the creek.
So, Gary, you was going off and you was like, yes! Yes!
Did you get that shine on me from Elder Carter?
What? What?
Oh, that was so good. You was on a roll, boy. Yes!
I don't know what Tim's talking about.
When you were shining on me so much, when you kept shining, did you think about were you thinking about Elder Carter and thinking about shine on me?
No. Shine. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's light.
I do remember. He did sing that. No.
It's easy to sing, let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Mm-hmm. Boy, but if that self-sucker did shine, if folk could see. Mm-hmm. Kentamore.
Yeah.
So your title was, you have been blessed. Wait a minute. You having been blessed mm-hmm. did not heed my warnings of love.
Right.
In other words, you've been blessed, but you're stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think warnings go with love. You know, they think that's opposite, you know.
That's why I wanted to put that in there with that, because that's what it is.
That is good. You know, a lot of things in this chapter I thought about Ephesians 4, where it talks about being past feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in that chapter it talks about them refusing to be corrected. You felt no grief. You had been stricken, but you had no grief.
Mm-hmm.
That's verse 3. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. And I like how you said that about their faces were emblematic of what their heart was like.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when you get past feeling, when you are given over to your own thoughts and your own lust and your own ideas about what righteousness is. And nothing that happens to you have any effect on you. Like, you never stop to consider that this could be the Lord. You never stop to consider, maybe I should consider my ways. Because you pass feeling anything. And it's like, even his touch, even him taking away the former and the latter rain, even him taking away the children, even him, you know, all these things you... It doesn't provoke you to reflect. And people are often that way. I was telling Tim, I said, you know, people come in and they know somebody passed away. And, you know, you probably haven't spoken to them for a long time. And they come in and they say, okay, well, yeah, I came to pay my condolences. And they leave and go back the same way.
Yep.
I said, and they never reflect. Oh, what just happened? I mean, I took time off of work, or I left work early, and I came here and I saw this family.
Yeah.
And they go back and be the same way.
Yeah. time is fleeting.
And these are, a lot of these people are people who profess or claim that they know the Lord. And they never look at and reflect, huh?
It's confess and profess. It's both.
Okay. And the other thing it made me think about is in verse 4 when he talks about, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way. And it is you making an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Leviticus 19, it talks about not being unrighteous in your judgment,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a poor person or a rich person. But he's like, surely if I go to the great ones, to the nobility,
mm-hmm.
to the high people, oh, they know, the educated folk, they know. And you made a false assumption. You judged unrighteously. You thought because they were poor, they should have. Oh, they're just ignorant. Mm-hmm. They don't really know. They don't really know the Lord. But the greater ones, the ones who are maybe more wealthy, more learned, surely they know the way. And then you find out they're altogether the same. And it's like we do that. And there's an expectation of someone who's been in church, you know, for 15 years, 10 years, 5 years, that maybe you're supposed to know a little bit more than somebody who hadn't been churched at all. You kind of think that there are certain ways, you kind of think that, but to assume that the other is lower, higher than the other, that's an unrighteousness in judgment. Both need to be approached the same way. There's an expectation that we should have, that he said that we all know God. It's in us. I think it's Romans chapter 1 that said it. It's in us. It's been manifested already.
Mm-hmm,
it's just
right.
That people suppress it. And so just that, and it's like we find ourselves expecting less because we think less of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, expect more because we think more of someone, but that's not the way of the Lord. It's like they all supposed to know me from the least to the greatest, and that we don't supposed to have respect and judgment in that way, and that the very same thing I expect from the noble, I should expect from the ignoble, you know,
mm-hmm.
or the ignorant, you know. And so that was another thought I had. Let me think about what to see the other one I had. They was doing some swearing and stuff. What was that? Oh, that was verse 2.
Oh, yeah.
In verse 2, he was like, as though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. Because you really don't believe it. You make an oath. You invoking my name. But you really think I'm dead. You really think I'm not going to do any good or evil. Didn't it say that further down in the passage? He's mm-hmm. not going to do anything. He can't do anything. It was that Kenneth Copeland said, God has no effect in the earth.
Well, have mercy. He even looked wicked.
You remember that, Tim?
Like a ventriloquist doll.
Yeah, like he can't do anything in the earth. He can't do any good or evil.
They should say he had no authority in the earth realm.
Yeah, but this is the same. See, the foolishness don't have a time on it. That's just the same thing they're saying right here. He's not going to do anything, but he's already doing something. You just refuse to recognize it. You refuse to be corrected by it. You have decided that maybe it's just, you know, my neighbor just don't like me. Or, you know, maybe it's the water I drink. Or maybe I ain't getting enough exercise. You are
no,
making
and, it's Donald Trump. Now.
Okay, yes, of course. Of course it's Donald Trump. So, I mean, if you just refuse to feel it, and it's like you refuse to reflect. You refuse to see the warning as love. You see it as something you should be avoided. I mean, they're going to avoid Jeremiah like the plague and put him away
yep.
as trash, you know, as dung. So, I mean, these are some of the things that I thought about. You stopped at verse 14, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, I'll stop talking right there.
No!
Did you hear Timotheus?
Your mama died. You can talk tonight. Go ahead.
Oh!
Oh, that was another thing I looked at was verse 7, where they say, "How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me." And so he's showing that you all, what you've done is you fully affected the children with your whoredoms. It says that you're going to have to bear with their whoredoms, like we're doing in Numbers. We're reading in Numbers. Mm-hmm. It says your children are going to have to bear with your whoredoms 40 years. And we don't really see that. When we're past feeling, when we want to do what we want to do, when his warnings of love have no effect on us, our children have to bear that. Our children have to bear that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we realize that we give them over. When we fully set in our ways, we give them over to the world more and more and more. And we ignore them more and more and more. And we're not mindful of the things that he said we should be mindful about, to speak to them when they rise up and when they go to bed about him.
That's right.
Because we decided that your way is better than his. That your thoughts are higher than his thoughts, that your ways are better than his. And we're always getting bombarded by that message. I was bombarded by that message when I was a child. I'm bombarded by it now on the television, on the radio. Everything in the culture in the United States, if I don't look somewhere else, I'm like, is there any nation that hear the Lord, you know, that at least they have a president, a prime minister, somebody that professed to be saying it at least. And you find out government going against that nation, Uganda. Uganda went in and they went and closed down a whole bunch of homosexual clubs that had been put up.
Mm-hmm.
They arrested these people. They said, you know, we don't do this here. You know, this is against the law. And the Black Caucus wrote a letter to Pompeo to say, put sanctions on these people, on this government. Because this is their culture. Those people who are there doing this know this already, and they decided to do it. But you're going to... The Black Caucus, who ain't even hardly all the way black, no, and I'm probably not even half black. And if they were, they might be vanilla on the inside.
Vanilla ice.
Wow. Why? These people have chosen a way to live. They have chosen the way of the Lord. And you're going to bring them down. You're going to put sanction on these people. You want to hurt them economically because they won't take this mark. And it really is a beast.
Yeah.
And so it's a shame. Like it really is. Go ahead.
Just like you and I was talking about, that older boy doing that, missing that bathroom, and that young man seeing it, seeing what kind of stuff they doing, making all that noise, and then he tell the teacher. The teacher may be sponsoring it.
That's true.
They may be, that person could be in cahoots with the teacher. They got little cameras in there, seeing who will go along with us, so we know who to select.
Lord,
to do what we need to have done. If they were selling drugs, I guarantee you, or if it was a knife in there, it wouldn't get be got. See what I'm saying? But you look at it from, when you want to see how bad people see something, look at the penalty that they add to it. Now, whether they think it's bad or this is what we want to control, D'Air, a person put a knife on D'Air desk, and D'Air was going to be suspended, and he had nothing to do with it. See?
Yeah.
So I just know I don't put nothing past people to recruit people to recruit people. And you let people see this is fun, this is hip, this is cool. Well, he'll do it. We did it together. I saw his, he saw mine. We kissed. And the word gets spread around. And the adults are listening too. He did? Okay. I want him in my class.
No.
He wants an extra credit. Why not? Ever since I've been on the web, pretty much, I've been seeing teachers messing with children. If all those teachers that have done that have been put to death, you could slow some of that roll. Long as your penalty is not that bad, people begin to realize it ain't that bad. You all show us what's bad. After a while, it's going to be legal to have child porn. Give them a few years. It depends on who you are. It's probably already legal. If your name was Epstein,
it
was probably okay. If your name was Clinton, it was okay. But Donald Trump better not have any. And I did say trunk, because anything that's wrong, anything is bad, just throw it in the trunk. You know, if Donald Trump would decide to do suicide, I'd say, I just want somebody else to have a chance to do something wrong. I just want somebody else to be able to be the cause of the earthquake. I just want somebody else to be the cause of the tsunami. I just want somebody else to be the cause of the homeless, the hungry, the pedophilia. You know, and he go kill himself. Guess what? It might not even work then. It was his fault. He ate 20 years ago. What he did, it was still his fault. Whereas the devil doesn't get as much blame as Donald Trump. Now, that's scary. That's scary because you got Christian-hearted people with all their might that will give more blame to things to Donald Trump than they'll give to the devil, the powers, the principalities, etc. I don't like it, Gary, and I don't want you to let that persist.
Okay, Tim. Well. So about how many people, if I can know, might be coming in?
There's about 20.
Okay, that's a significant number.
20, and I'm counting adults and children. So.
Okay.
But I thought you told me to prepare for 50.
I did. I mean, right, we got
30
on the inside.
She, talking about, she might be talking about people and the way they eat, too. Because, I mean, you got dark-skinned people coming to eat. And if they eat...
Yeah,
they,
why do people from Alabama got to be dark-skinned?
Dark-skinned people coming to eat and going to try to keep a meal for the next 3 hours.
Hallelujah. My truck finally cranked. I've been sitting here all this time and my truck didn't crank.
You eat one plate of beer, you take one with you.
Right. look at all that food now. We get here. There's no food. You better get two
and
plates.
And I'm coming home now. My truck hadn't been cranking for about 30, 40 minutes.
Wow.
You got to put gas in it, Tim.
It's full, Gary.
Papa say you can't win.
it's a security thing that they have in this vehicle, and they talk about it and they say they don't make it. So sometimes if that, like, say security, it's as if I got a key that does not go to this truck. So I have to leave the switch on to that security light go off. Then I have to turn the vehicle off, let the vehicle be off for a certain amount of time, then try to crank it. That it did it 3 times till it finally crunked. It might not do it no more for a month. But when it does it, it's very inconvenient. I get ready to shake myself, you know, and go out like I do at other.
That's funny.
Wow. Thank you, baby. You know the light is your love.
Wow.
you don't want me to have love, Gary?
I do.
Okay then. Don't.
He said, but not while he listening.
Don't make Gary be in the position to be choked because I'm a kind.
Oh my goodness!
Oh no! And he got some big words.
look, little brother is no longer little brother. That's all it is. It's about like your papa. Your papa tried that on me one time, Gary. Remember that?
I think
he was in bad shape.
Said,
boy, I lay over my lap and I'll whip you. I said, okay, Papa, I lay on your lap and you start to try to whip me and I wiggle. As bad as your back is, you're going to be the one in pain. That's the way we do God. It's like, God, I'm going to be mad at you. God, if you don't do right, I ain't going to come to Bubba Gun Church. I ain't going to serve you no more. You're going to be in bad shape, God. And God is like, I could let one little germ destroy you, okay? I ain't even talking about a gnat. Just one little germ. It's like you don't even know the fullness of my power. I can let you be in pain so hard that morphine won't even help you. I can make your toe rot. I can let your body rot from the inside out.
Oh, good Lord.
I can let you stink so bad. He done
did it. He went to the toe.
You're going to try me? Am I not a great king? Am I not? You going to talk trash? You going to talk trash. Boy, look, don't you ever think you can stiffen your neck up into me like a donkey and I can't do nothing about it. I break necks, okay? Look, as the Messiah said one time, you can either fall on the stone and be broken, okay? Which is painful, but that's the best thing for you. Or let it fall on you, heifer.
Gary, I'm gonna be talking Gary about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Am you famous? Okay. In verse 7, it talks about they assembled themselves by troops and the harlots' houses. Is that something like going to, you know, like the temple of Baal, or did you see anything that was? Was it just idolatry, period, and the number of people doing it, or were they actually assembling and doing certain things, gathering together?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about the whole part, you know, like, and it could have been that too, that you all were doing whorish things with these guys, I mean, sexual things, or was it just that they were worshiping another god, or were they actually doing sexual acts?
I looked in one source because I kept reading. As you see, I was in different places and I would just get to read. And so I didn't really look in. I like to try to look at least three, and then I might listen to a couple of people that I think have been reliable. But the one that I looked in, seemed to kind of allude to both of those things. It did. I think it was really specific about it was like talking about the harlot, and you know, I think I don't remember who it was, but said think of really the high places, and they're going. And it did talk about troops, and I think it might even said like even being numbered, like lined up or something, which you know is kind of graphic. Or something.
Oh, it is.
I actually kind of took it to mean both things that you said. So I mean, I'm thinking Baal and all of them. So. Yes. So I'm gonna say yes, but I didn't read a lot of different ones. Sometimes I'll have like the monster on, and then I have a physical book, and then I'm using my phone, so I had three, or even like sometimes Josephus, like since this you know is really kind of covering an expanse, sometimes I find that he might not cover necessarily expanse as opposed to. You know, maybe I didn't look well enough as like a specific situation. So, but yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, because I mean, I thought about you. Remember when what's his name, Jehu?
Mm-hmm.
And Jehu said, "I'm getting ready to do the largest sacrifice ever to Baal."
Yeah.
Get ready to party hard, everybody.
And don't let them out. Lock
that.
The
you gotta make sure every one of them love him up in here. Do you love him up in here? Make sure.
Sound like Tom. What's that cat? Come on now. Do you love him?
Do you love him? And somehow they were. How they wanted to be numbered. How they really did troop together. They came together like, ooh, this getting ready to be good.
Yeah.
So I thought about that they was rushing in to be counted in that number.
Mm-hmm.
Go marching in.
It just felt very heavy, you know, when I was looking at it, and it was hard because like tonight it was almost. You know, I was like, okay, now how much do I read? It's like if I kind of read quickly the narrative, it's almost like make it maybe like it's instead of, well, I didn't read all of it. Just it's almost kind of like I finished the chapter, but I was reading other portions. But it was just so there. I still didn't read like everything, but it was just there.
Yeah, sometimes I think about stuff like that, like being numbered with people, you know, like. When you start to see a whole lot of people talk about one thing or one person.
Oh, God.
And it's like everybody's talking about it. They got a jersey up on everybody's Facebook page. And it's like, I know some of these people. Do I want to be numbered with them? Do I really want to go the same way? And it's like, I'm going to say no. I don't want that. I don't think that's good. It's like, everybody. I mean, and they go deep. I mean, it's madness. You know, and it's like,
go ahead, Gary.
Go ahead.
Somebody asked me about the Super Bowl the other day. I didn't even know the Super Bowl was going to happen. And when I told him, Mr. Mayor, you going to watch the Super Bowl? And I looked at him like, huh? I'm like, I don't know. And I said, I didn't know it was. I didn't even know it was going to happen. That person looked hurt. I was like, "Dog, you know." I said, "I'm really not interested. I'm not interested." I was like, you know, every now and then I might watch one, but I might watch 10 minutes, and then I'm like, "Okay, it's." I'm like, somebody gonna win, somebody gonna lose, somebody gonna get a lot of money, and I ain't even gonna get any. You know, I was just like, okay, but that person looked like they were hurt. I was just like, wow, I was shocked. I'm not watching it.
Change, you know, cause what Peter says, you don't run to the same excess of riot as they do. You don't. It's strange, and they will speak evil of you. You know, so. But just thinking about it and saying, okay, if this is what's good, if and what's popular, which means, you know, a pop culture or a popular culture, yeah. I probably need to do this because I'm looking at some of the people that's going that way, and a lot of them, I probably wouldn't want to be caught dead with them, you know, or anybody thinking, or, you know. And it's like sometimes we don't think about it, even with them, you know, them gathering themselves together mm-hmm. in troop. But when he called for a troop to go into the promised land, you all ran the other way. But you're a troop to the harlot's house. Mm-hmm. You're a troop yourself together in excess and to do things that are not convenient, those things that are vain. You'll run and do that. And it's like sometimes we ought to look at the people that's doing some stuff and be like, I don't want to be counted with the transgressors. I don't want to be with, it's like some things you have to keep yourself from in this culture. And it's like, even though you got an opinion and you think something and you hear something, that don't mean you got to be with. Some things are just strange to me. You know, it's like, what's really happening? And I found this article. This is my last thing I'm going to say. I was reading this article on memes. And it's really, memes is the short version of memetics. Okay?
Memetics?
Memetics. M-E-M-E-T-I-C-S. Memetics.
Okay.
Meme is M-E-M-E. So just put ticks on the end of it.
Okay.
So this is really what they call social science, okay? Mm-hmm. And you have social scientists. They wanted to see how they could effectively change culture, how they could get rid of what we call those old norms, you know, things that we call normalcy or normal,
mm-hmm.
and bring ideas. If we can change the culture through memes, just little short little snippets, if we could get you to dislike somebody, if we could put somebody's name out as evil, and we don't really have to give any great detail, it's just a small bit of propaganda, then we could just say, oh, you know, he's a racist, and you offer no proof. Oh, well, yeah, you know, he doesn't like black people, and you offer no proof. Oh, yeah, you know, well, you know, she is for everything that's right for the black people, but you offer no proof. Mm-hmm. But if I get out there and showing this, and people keep, and they track, they're tracking through social media how many times this thing is shared, how many people commented on it, and they're actually tracking the way that they are changing society.
Wow.
And people don't even know it. They think they own just, oh, we just, this is the friend book. I have so many friends. But they're tracking to see how effective their method of propaganda is. When you see a lot of people don't watch regular TV. A lot of people don't want to pay for cable television.
Mm-hmm.
So they advertising through these social media. So we got to find a way. This is how they make money, through advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
So if many people are always and constantly, we're looking at the traffic and the things that people, you know, tweet about or comment on Facebook or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we advertisers like that. How many people can you give us? They selling your information. They selling you certain things. But more importantly, they're changing culture. The selling something is icing on the cake, but they're changing the culture and they're getting a specific group of people. They want you to be past feeling. They want you not to be engaged, really, with the people around you, that the people you can see that difference with. They want you to be more engaged with the people online. And they want you, this is your first life is now your second life. Your first is your computer life, whatever you do, whether it's gaming, whether it's, you know, social media, whatever you're doing, and you're not paying attention that you're really repeating everything you're doing, you're repeating. And it's like, oh, I like that. I like this little clip that says this. All you're doing is repeating this information, and you don't really know if it's real or fake. You just know that I feel some type of way when I see it. So I'm going to repost this. I'm going to repost that. And it's like there are bigger things that are happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you make me oblivious to that. And so when something does happen, it's just like, oh, it just happened. And I'm going to go back to my life. My first life, which is really supposed to be my second life, which is my online life.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly designed for that. All of this was designed to disconnect us from each other. So that in any event that we need to get rid of some people, that's what the media is for. We can demonize people. We can say they're not worth saving. You can say they asked for it. You can say, you know, oh, well, you know, these people, this person, this president, he's killing his own people. We don't really know that. That's just what you say. He's doing this. He's bombed his own people. I don't know if that's true. Why is it your concern? Why are you telling me this? Why is news? We have learned not to question things.
Mm-hmm.
If it runs in our ears, then it must be true. And we're disconnected. And we live in a life, and it's like it's really not towards God. God is the only way you're going to come out of it.
That's true.
I'm talking, you got to have the scriptures. This is the only way, because you got a different way of thinking about everything. You want to test things. You want to try the spirit. You want to hold fast to what is true. You want to always say, is that really true? I just know somebody put that out there. And so, yeah, it's true, but why is it news to me? Why do I need to know this? Why are you telling me this? How you want me to? You want me to feel some way about it? You want to see if I'm going to comment about it? And there used to be a way that they gather people into auditoriums.
Mm-hmm.
And this could do with propaganda. At first, it was books. Okay, before they had the screen, they had books. And what you would do is you write a book. And you get, you know, people to promote the book, and you pass out your book, and if nobody knew about the person that's running for president, then you have somebody do memoirs, and you write a book about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to do it. This is your form of media. Then you get the newspapers. Then this is a way we can get and promote certain things. And it's like, why is this news? Well, because we said it is. So now then it used to be, if we couldn't, the most effective way we could do propaganda? Well, we're going to put you inside, we're going to say, we're going to show you a film. And a film is a propaganda film.
Mm-hmm.
And you all, and you watch this, and we're going to tell you that Nazis eat babies, like for real. Because I want you to think a certain way about something I'm getting ready to do that will clearly affect you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want you to object to it. I don't want you to ask any questions about it. I just want you to let it roll over your eyes and into your mind and sink into your conscience. And so if somebody confronts you and say, why do you believe that? Just get angry. Just get angry. Don't really answer. Just get angry that they even question you. But these are the things that it was amazing when I started reading it. They really do. Then they do studies on us. They mm-hmm. do research and say, we're going to figure, we have a Negro problem, okay? And how can we have this Negro problem and then still sell them democracy? Well, clearly there's nothing democratic about this thing. How do we sell it? And so you have the Carnegie Corporation, the Carnegie Foundation,
mm-hmm.
sponsored a study on black people. and you find out everything there is to find out about black people, their family structure, how they deal with their children, what is their religious base, what is their morality, how do they decide who is chief or elder, or how do they treat the elderly people, how do they treat the young people, what do they feel about it, everything you can think of, what do they like to eat, how would they act if you put them all together in one place and tuck away resources.
Wow.
You learn that people study you. This is all a big social experiment. And we have to step outside of it to judge it. We can't be a part of it and judge it. We cannot. That's hypocrisy. We have to step outside and see it. We really have to see it. Because so many things can happen and you can become numb to it. But he said he's not going to put more on us than we can handle. Mm-hmm. Always know that. That's true. He's going to give you a way out to escape. But you're going to, it's going to be with the dignity, with honor, and with righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
With it. And it's like we just let things wash over us and wash over us. And we just erode just as a person. Erode away righteousness. Erode away judgment. Erode our tongue out of our mouth. We can't even speak it no more.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, well, they got a point. No, they don't. These are liars. This is witchcraft. This is sorcery. But we have to step outside of it to see it. We can't watch certain things. It's like, I remember I was having De'Aaron watch some things, and he was like, I kind of feel something. I say, step outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Step outside of it. I say, and if you need a break from it, take a break from it. Let your mind rest a little bit. Because it's not for the weary.
Mm-hmm.
When you see things the way God sees them, you better be able to run with the horses.
That's so right.
These men are something else. And to know, sit, the Bible tells you they sit on their bed and plan and work things.
Yep.
But to be able to stand outside of it and judge it, I mean, seriously judge it, and not be afraid to speak and say, I see what you're doing. I see you. It's sorcery. It's everything they do is to trick you into believing that what they're doing is harmless. It's just entertainment. It's just for fun. Don't be so serious. You're teaching my children. You want my children.
Mm-hmm.
Want my children. Because you, what they say, I believe the children are our future.
Yeah.
If I they corrupt them, I've got the next, 40 years sold up. 40? I got the rest of it sold up if I can get your children. If I can get you to invest nothing in them but the world. And convince you it's better that we raise your child. It's better that you send them to our school so they can believe our lies. But we're going to tell them to tell on you if you say something. They belong to us. They belong to the state. Anyway, I'm through talking. I just wanted to, you know, show you that it's all done by design.
That's good.
That
study you were talking about by Carnegie, I mean, is that in a, I guess it's in a book.
It's in a, it's, It's in a book. It was a research thing. I wrote it down somewhere.
Myrtle's Study of the Negro in American Research Memoranda Collection. They probably got a bunch of them.
The problem with the Negro, and let me see, I wrote it down. I know it's a problem with the Negro, and it has the democracy in it.
Okay.
I got so many notes. Wait a minute. Because I was listening to a book about propaganda. And how celebrity is created. How you make stars, you make idols. You make celebrities, and he said it started out because it used to be like, if you had a newspaper, or, if God didn't make anything happen, then you have nothing to write about.
Mm-hmm.
Say, and then they wanted to do more and do more advertising and getting to 24-hour news, and it's like, but there's nothing happening. So he said they manufacture events. You manufacture people. So, and you start manufacturing events around these people. So he was saying, just like you could say, well, if a company has been open for, 9 years, it's like, we're going to create an event where it's their 10th anniversary. And we're going to get a celebrity to come in. But this is them making news. They're making news. And they're using people who, they're orchestrating things in order to make news. These things are false. They are planned. Most of them are scripted.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just watching. We think being scripted and just watch television shows, that's scripted. You learn that the news is scripted. You learn that reality TV is scripted. And he said most things that you see that are on television and in print, many of those things are scripted. They are designed, and this is them making news.
Mm-hmm.
And so by them making news, because they make the news, they can take the culture in whatever way they want to take it. So we can say, oh, well, this whole thing, this with, this person and that person that's going on, and they said that she wasn't, that she wanted too much on this show, and and they put her out, and she say they discriminated against her, and what about women? So it's like, where are you going with this? Where are you going with this? Well, I want to say that women are not treated well, or I want to say, there is inequality between black and white people. Well, I want to say and it's something to keep up a narrative that's designed for you to think a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you keep hearing it over and over again, and you see what Terry Crews said, so-and-so, and this and that, and this has happened to him, and what do you say about so-and-so? And then now you got everybody tweeting, everybody Facebook posting, everybody, this is, but these things are scripted.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like now we having a debate about where, I think that, men don't really have the same problem as women. And they're not harassed like women. And so therefore women need to have the right to rule now. What? But that's you changing culture. You're scripting. What's the next phase? So you all things, you start with, okay, we're going to put on a television show. We'll put Will and Grace on. Let's use that as an example. But before then, we've allowed you to see men dressed up like women so many times. Those two white guys and Tom Hanks, whatever show that was, they were dressing up like women to live in a building.
Okay. Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies. Then you had Flip Wilson and a host of other people that say, oh, this is the funniest thing for a man to dress up like a woman. It's so funny. And it's like, to whom is it funny? Why is that the best comedy ever? And so you put on a show that comes on, you know, weekly, and then, you know, when you really want to get into it and you really want to change the culture, you got like 3 or 4 shows on like that. And even the old ones, in syndication, you plan them 2 or 3 times a day because you're getting ready to push something in the culture. And if I keep letting it roll over your eyes, and into your ears, you're going to get hardened. You're not going to even feel what I'm doing to you. And you'll hear people say, well, I just think, you know, well, they beat up this man because he was hitting on this other man. And I just think, you know, and they getting killed. Well, other people, not children, are being killed.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to take somebody that's tricking men, dressing up like women, will not tell them, fake breasts, fake everything, will not tell them and disclose to them that I'm really not a woman. And then you're going to say, when they found out, they went crazy. They didn't go crazy. You should have said it, give a person a choice. But now I have to feel like, well, you know, now it ain't right to kill nobody, but it ain't right to trick nobody either. You lied.
Mm.
Consequences for lies. But you see it, and it keeps, you keep passing by your eyes and in your ears, and you now they got them on children's cartoons, and now they got this black guy with this ball gown on Sesame Street.
Whoa.
Oh, they all right. Oh, you see how fierce he was. Why would you even want to use that type of language when you're talking about a children's show and somebody on the children's show? Because they want our children. Every single one of them. But this is what you do in the media, and this is what it's designed to do. You make stars. It's like I say, when the helicopter accident happened,
mm-hmm.
I've seen other men who can play better, but just as good as some of these other folks. But you know, everybody don't make it. We handpick people.
Right.
For certain things we want to do, for images. And we get you involved in a lot of things, and you know, like they say, well, you know, you got to give us something, so because we're supposed to be in a relationship, you got to give us something. And they catch you in what they call compromising positions. But they always compromise, and you just don't ever know it until they say no about something. I don't really want to do that. Well, you don't have a choice. I mean, we could take everything you have because we made you.
Mm-hmm.
We created you. Are you? So it's these things like we have to step outside of it in order to see it and judge it for what it really is. Because we really are the judges of the earth. We really are.
Mm-hmm.
And people to tell us over and over and over again, you're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to judge. Why would you be telling me that? That's not normal. Why are you telling me you're not supposed to judge? But you hear other people judge other people, you be like, yeah, that's right. I'm not supposed to do righteous judgment, is what you're saying.
Right.
I'm not supposed to do judgment of God, is what you're saying. That he pronounced. I'm not supposed to say that. it's been, you're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to judge. And you hear the people saying this, and it's like, why don't you judge me for judging? Yeah. I'm just saying what it say. Well, I'm saying what it say. I'm saying all of what it say.
Right.
And what is it anyway? Because you probably got that from somebody. Where is it that I'm not supposed to do it? Show me.
Yeah.
Show me where
that's good.
It's like you have to try every spirit. It's like, okay, something ain't nothing just happening, okay? Nothing is just happening. If we back in our 10th hour talking about this accident, why it don't take 10 hours to say the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
Why am I getting the flow of this? And that you talk about the Super Bowl, I called it the Stupor Bowl.
Oh.
just something else to put you to sleep.
Mm.
Of all that, well, I'm going to predict that so-and-so, and what about this man, he, you know, this guy, he came up from nothing, and his dad is black, his mom is white, and, you know, he's supposed to, he say he loved Jesus, but he living with a woman for like 6 or 7 years. What? Well, we ain't supposed to say that.
Mm.
You don't supposed to say that. We just supposed to be
Jesus pardons everything. That's what the new Jesus is. Neo Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, I'm through talking.
I have a request. It's not rambling. I would like for you to take the section and you. Of course, you don't have to, where you're speaking, and maybe label it so that, like, we can just go back and listen to that.
Okay, I can do that.
That makes sense. Yeah, I don't know what you're going to call it, and speak. What'd you say?
I don't either.
And speaks common sense. I don't know. Biblical
Tim's wife, what he gets at home.
Cause I'm like,
I'm gonna call it just listen.
Yeah, just listen or just listen. Cause I'm like, there's a lot in there, and it was really good. And I mean, I because if once you post Jeremiah chapter 5 part 1 or whatever. I'm like, because I'd be like skipping over. I will skip over. Like, let's, because I want to hear again what you were saying. So I just say, well, maybe you can put it in its own segment.
I can do that.
Thank you. Yes.
Now, Andrina, Dree sent you $100. So I just need you to know. I just said what?
Dree said Gary and Dree, and I said it's okay. He's in the action. I think
Gary and Dree sent you $100, Andrina, so it's not mine. Why y'all laugh at the light?
But you are a funny man.
You look at your account and you see an extra dollar or something, and you say, thank you, Jesus. And then and you realize that, okay, what was Gary asking Ann? Why was he asking all these questions? I think I know why he asked those questions.
You know what? I wouldn't even. I just thought he was. I thought she was nosy like me, Gary. I'm so nosy that it's like.
Show is, Gary. Oh my God.
I'm just inquisitive. It's not. I'm not trying to. I'm not really looking to say nothing, or I'm not thinking anything when I ask you.
It's mom.
What you doing?
It's like mom. Gary, I can be eating something, okay? Let's say if I'm eating something, I really don't want her to know that I'm eating it. What you eating, Tim? I hear you eating something. Or let's say if I'm going to somewhere to try to buy her something, or let's say I'm going to get her something to eat that I know she like and not tell her.
Let me do it. Where you going? Where you going?
Yeah, where are you? What you doing? I hear some noise in the background. What you doing?
She like, if somebody come up on you, she get to know what your location is.
Gary.
I know, Tim.
Listen to me. Look, I didn't know how much I don't like answering questions.
And, for real.
And I remember one day we would be married. I don't know, had it been a month when you said, I'm your wife, I can ask you anything I want to.
I did.
That's the way, we like it. Damn it,
and she told me, she
the name
said,
of the book, here.
Okay.
The name of the book is An American Dilemma.
Okay.
The Monumental Study of the Negro and American Democracy.
Okay.
And so, Gary, then she had the unmitigated, and I do mean unmitigated, temerity, not Tim Merritt, but the unmitigated temerity to say, I'm your wife. I can ask you anything I want to. And she said, and you are not single anymore.
I did.
You are not single.
In the words of Bro Charles, I guess you hear that.
Yeah,
I did, but it did make it go down. And I think it made it go down a little better. But I'm going to tell you the best thing about it is, if you're not doing dirt and you're not doing wrong, it's easy to deal with. But boy, if I was doing dirt, that's when it would be hard. Because, for instance, she might ask me, let's say if I decide right now, I know she like a certain kind of chips. I'm not, because I don't think she does. I haven't seen her eat chips in a long time. But I decide, I'm going to go get her some chips right now. So I go outside and I'm piddling around. And that come to my mind, so I'm going to go get her some. The store about three minutes away and back. And I get a call on the phone as soon as I'm leaving out there, where you going? I'm getting ready to do something. No, sometimes I say, Oli. She says, no, where you going? I say, Oli. And then she'll say, Oli, Andrina. No, where are you going? I'm going to the store for me. What you need to go to the store for? You just cooked. You're like, golly, dang. To pick something up. Well, I mean, why you got to get something from the store? Do you have a job tonight? No. Then why you leave? And sometimes I might break down and say, I was going to go get you. She used to like this thing called salt and vinegar chips.
Ooh,
and
she
said, and they had to be Cape Cod. You can't be Lay's.
Okay.
They Cape make Cod tastes better.
Or like a fish.
Are they more kettle? Yeah. They're more kettle, yeah. And it's more kettle. And it's like, I didn't want that. You could have just stayed at home. Or sometimes it's okay. But I'm just saying. But there have been times that it has saved me, too. You know, because I don't want you to go. You don't need to go. So, you know, I think the time when I do it the most to her is when she's driving and she go out around the town when they Christmas, and I just don't like folk around Christmas. They just, So, yeah, Garrett, I get it. These are the things that she learned that she's sharing with you all. Stuff I couldn't tell you. I know about the Calhoun rat experiment, though. I read about it and I watched it. Now that will actually go into what she's talking about as well.
I think you sent that.
You don't know anything about the Calhoun rat experiment?
No.
No, I'm saying I think I saw that. I believe you sent that to me a long time ago.
Yeah, I've been trying to be good to his elder brother, but the thing is that the words that we say and that are being recorded, should we die earlier than we want to, our family will be able to look and say, God, they really love each other. But if somebody is sagacious and they speak with the lips of wisdom, it would be like, it seemed like they love God more. And the rest of that was trickled down. And that's what it needs to be. Because if I love you and Mama or anybody else more than him, I'm not worthy of him. But because I love him, it teaches me how to love my brothers. It tell me how to love, what to do, how to stay away. They don't want to be bothered with me. You know, all those good things. But Andrina was like, you know, they're telling all these people how to mourn this man that died and all of that. And Andrina's just not buying it. We talked about, you know, Dr. Robert Morey died. Did you know that?
I did not.
Did you ever like him?
When was it?
Last year. Did you know Dr. Robert Morey?
I do remember. Yes, I did. I think he wrote the book on death, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, death and the afterlife. Or David Chilton.
Yeah.
Ann and I were talking that if God was going to tell us to bring one of them back from the dead, him or Kobe, we would be bringing back Dr. Morey. Dr. Morey or David.
I mean,
if somebody said, but Dr. Morey wasn't, I tell you this much, the information that he imparted to me is worth more than you could give me 500 games that I could watch of any basketball. You could combine them all to make a monster basketball player. And it won't equal what I got from Dr. Morey. Well, what about his positive mental attitude? I think when somebody tell me the butt-naked word of God, that's as positive as it gets. Well, what about he loved his children? What about this person loved to tell me the truth about God's word? Don't go comparing the bottom to me with the top. I don't care how you're going to see that. But the thing is that until we get a view of God-centeredness, we're going to always feel the substitute is equal to, or from the bottom up is equal from the top down. That's why it irritates me. I don't even know where the end is of my irritation with the situation of the folly of people when they want to tell me, well, you know, I wouldn't put my child out of my house. I wouldn't stop loving my child, so I know God won't stop loving his. And I look at a Quaton in the face and I say, you really, really believe that I'm supposed to look at you as a human with all of your faults, all of your idiosyncratic ways that are totally from the bottom up as a dependent being, and now going to ascribe that the Most High must behave like you? You didn't, that's sometimes I give them an out. You didn't mean to say that like that, did you? Really? Sometimes I say, I just look like this. Because anytime you turn around, well, you know, God has unconditional love. I said, then what is hell? Why is hell there? Why Pharaoh didn't know he had unconditional love? You mean unconditional love that there is no eternal judgment? Yeah, like, that's just, as if he has unconditional love, we need to get rid of the Bible. Get rid of your churches. What do you mean? Well, you still got, you know, you got to obey God. I said, ma'am, when you say that, that's a condition. If it's unconditional love, you never have to obey God, okay? You just don't. And all those people that killed his son, spit on him, and everything else, he has unconditional love. Well, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Jesus always said, you always answer my prayer. Yeah. But why did Peter say, save yourself and this untoward generation? Why did those people say, sir, what must we do? Before that was ever said, it was already given how restitution was to be made. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is one act. That didn't mean they go to heaven. This is one act. And I would believe that in that case, God don't smite them right now. Now, somebody say, Tim, you giving conjecture. I admit that. But I can tell you from going from the backwards to the front, or what they call a posteriori, they obviously weren't saved. For what kind of forgiveness could it be?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I know my daddy. I know what he'll unleash on your stank tail. 12 legions. Look, I can't even stand against one, Gary. 12 legions? You could take all the bravado of every merit that have ever been, and it can't stand against one angel. So you know I don't stand a chance. He's like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what. I mean, look, what was going on? Darkness and catastrophic situations? But they surely, how could they be saved? And Peter is telling them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin. If it's already done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to close out, but I've thoroughly enjoyed